Okay, good morning. I was very happy to get involved in this project. I started out my career at Cook County Hospital, so this was like a return to my roots to be asked to participate in this program, which was a collaboration, which I'll explain to you. But this is a quote from focus groups that we did in a neighborhood of Chicago called Inglewood, where the women and youth were very clear on saying, we need to be heard. I have no disclosures. I want to acknowledge that we were given discretionary funds from the Field Foundation that supported this initial, this is phase one of a project which we hope to continue. So let me first tell you a little bit about Inglewood. It's a predominantly African-American community on the south side of Chicago. You can see that there's a lot of single-parent households, and 90% of them are female-headed, and, you know, a very modest household income, and especially when you compare it to a statewide median. So in the neighborhood of Inglewood, the residents are living, 46% are living below the poverty level, and if breaking that down further, 23% are 50% below the poverty level. So we're talking about a poor neighborhood. Most people are in rental properties. 39% of the population have less than high school education. About 30% have high school or GED. About 7% less than a year of college, you know, 15% a year of college. So you can see that the education, as we go up to more education, it goes way down. And this is part of the 2009 U.S. Census data for the neighborhood. So the focus of our work is on violence in the community. And I found this website, which while I was on it, they were updating the crimes that were occurring. So this is when I was making this PowerPoint on the 15th of October, about a week ago. So I just took that 24-hour period, and you can see that there's, you know, this is a 24-hour period in one little neighborhood in Chicago. You know, batteries, burglaries, assaults, vandalism, narcotics arrests, thefts, aggravated battery, child abuse, armed robbery, unlawful possession of a handgun. You know, it goes down, you know, the higher ones are at the top, but a lot is getting reported within a 24-hour period. So it demonstrates the amount of violence that is present in this neighborhood. So we work, the project I'm going to talk to you about came out of partnerships. We're working with Teamwork Inglewood, which is a community organization that formed in 2003. So they're established and trusted within the community, and their focus is on developing partnerships that will work in the community, help the community, and a focus is on youth and education and public safety. So they were very good partners. I work at Heartland Alliance Marjorie Kobler Center, and even though our focus is on the treatment of torture, we have come because over the years we are working with communities of immigrants, refugees, and we really wanted to look at models of empowerment for violence-affected communities. So this is like a new area for us to work in the city. And then the other partner is the Adler Institute on Social Exclusion, which has a social justice mission and focuses on communities that, you know, are vulnerable and bring an academic perspective of looking at applied research and public education. So those are the three partners. So In the fall of 2010, with funding from the Field Foundation, we set out to interview Englewood women and their daughters, 8 to 17 years old, and hear from them. What are the most pressing problems? What would you like help with? And this grew out of, actually, a partnership between the Teamwork Englewood and the Adler Institute on Social Exclusion from a youth gun violence prevention program that was done with the boys. And the parting words of the young men in the community to the organizers was, you know, you need to look at the girls in our neighborhood. That's an emerging problem. And so with that in their mind, they decided to look at the young women. But in order for us to work with the young women, we started with the moms. And Deanna Woods is the outreach coordinator for Teamwork Englewood, and she was so excellent in helping us access a sample of moms in the community. So myself and a colleague who's a social worker, we ran the focus groups. We did two focus groups with the moms, and this was a way to let the moms know what we wanted, get informed consent that we were going to be talking with their daughters, and also hear what are the concerns that they have for themselves as women in the community, and what are the concerns they have for their daughters. And here's what the moms had to say. Their primary concern was community violence. The other was mental health concerns, and the lack of access to any kind of assistance for their concerns. They talked about feeling helpless and hopeless, about changing anything in their lives, and as a result of that, they had a lot of sadness, and also a lethargy that goes along with that hopelessness and helplessness, that there's nothing I can do. They also identified that they were either unemployed or underemployed. Again, not only the poor access to mental health, but generally, you know, in the community, poor access to health care, and that there was limited resources available. Many of them talked about domestic violence in their own lives, history of domestic violence, or in, you know, their neighborhood, knowing that, like, the sister or the neighbor or someone in their apartment building. They also felt like there was limited resources for their children to help keep them out of trouble, and also talked about, this was over and over again, multi-generational households, that because of poor income, that you would have grandmothers, mothers, and their children, and aunties and uncles and cousins all living in the same unit. And that also stressed the family, because there was concern and caring for extended family members, which then added to, again, more stress emotionally at the income level, at the housing level, and that there are no daycare options in the neighborhood. So the moms were right on it, identifying things very succinctly. When we ask them about what are the underlying causes for this, top of the list, racism, poverty. Many of them talked about how none of their children had ever been outside of Englewood. They don't know anything else. And they felt that was a direct result of racism in Chicago. Poverty results in limited access to any kind of resources. The community doesn't trust each other, and that there isn't a lot of cohesion. It's a splintered community. They also observe that, you know, some of them admitted for themselves, I'm not a very good parent. I'm holding down two jobs. How can I be a good parent? But they also talked about seeing kids in the street without supervision who, from their perception, were too young to be out on the street without supervision. But then when they looked at the parents who might step outside to yell at them, they said, they're kids too. Mm-hmm. So there was this recognition of not only the poor parenting, but the lack of knowing how to parent and looking at a multi-generational system of this lack of parenting being learned, no good role models. So that's what the moms had to say. Very astute. They were animated. We actually were only had an intention to meet with them once, but we met with them twice, and then we've met with them a couple times afterwards because they're asking for it. They're saying, we feel so much better after sitting together. So again, addressing some of what they said, the lack of community cohesion and trust, what they felt like coming, this group of 20 women coming together was a way of beginning to do that. And so they've been asking to have more of that. I'm going backwards instead of forwards. Okay, so what we then did is met with 15 young girls and women between the ages of 8 and 17, all daughters of the 20 moms. We met with them three times over 3 weeks, and again, it was the same, myself and a social worker who conducted them. So we asked them several questions. The first one was, what are the biggest problems you and your friends are facing right now? And here was their responses. Teen pregnancy was top of the list. Peer pressure, feeling like they had to follow what other girls were doing. They had lots of issues with schools. They said their teachers were, many of them, used, the older girls said their teachers were racist. And felt discriminated against. Even though they're in a predominantly African-American high school, they still felt like their teachers were contributing to them staying in the neighborhood, and they would talk about need in Chicago, you can apply to go to schools outside your neighborhood, but you have to, teachers have to fill out forms, and that the teachers would refuse. So they felt like teachers were holding them back. So they talked about mean mugging, which I learned is another term for bullying. They also felt like people outside of Englewood have a very negative perception about their community, and it was hard not to feel the same way. Guns and gun violence, the need to duck and take cover, actually all of them had an experience of witnessing a violent shooting, and many of them had a friend who had died as a result of a violent shooting. They talked about trap houses, where there's a lot of vacant buildings where drugs are sold and used, and that walking by them makes them very vulnerable because they're also a building that girls are pulled into and raped. So we also asked them, what would you do if you had been personally impacted by violence? And there wasn't a lot of response. They said, well, there's no counselors that we can turn to. There's no help at school. And that they solved their problems by taking it to the streets, which means each other. You know, so there's not a lot of either professional or informed help. Have you or your friends gotten into fights with other girls? Fights with friends, yes, using words and fists. They usually fight over boys. They fight over being disrespected by each other. And that was something we saw in the groups, even though, I think these kids are so activated because of the exposure in their daily lives that the lack of impulse control was just really prevalent, of like hitting each other, kicking each other, elbowing each other as they were talking. And when they would disagree with each other, or even if they thought something was funny, the arm would go out and somebody would get hit across the chest. The other thing they identified is girls don't use guns, boys do. But girls use sharp objects, and they said the common weapon, if it went beyond fist among girls, is you grab a bottle, you break it, and you cut them in the face. So there was a real intention to disfigure. So we asked them, and this is where I think there's a disconnect between the youth and then their moms, is where do you see yourself in 10 years? The good thing is there's still a sense of hope a dream that hasn't been squashed yet, because they said being successful, getting a job, moving far away from Chicago, that was a real common theme. People wanted out of Englewood, the young girls. They wanted to give some, a few wanted to give back to their community. One wanted to be a pediatrician. Then you had the typical, I want to have a Beamer, a Bentley, a Benz, having a beautiful job like being a teacher or a doctor or a lawyer. So there's still positive dreams. When we ask them what kind of help, they want after-school programs, but after-school programs, that would be fun. They don't feel like there's much fun in their lives. Interested in job-related classes, especially things that would help them develop skills to get a summer job. And then they also came up with the idea, we'd really like to shadow people who don't live in Englewood. I would like to go, to us, I'd like to spend a day with you at work and see what your life is like outside of Englewood. So one mom declared, finding work is a mental health problem. I'm ready to go crazy. And a 17-year-old said, help me learn how to be someone that will be hired for a job. So I just have two more slides. So we came up with this program proposal of a two-prong program of entrepreneurial development, which would teach financial literacy, leadership and business development, and at the same time provide psychosocial support through therapeutic workshops that would address interpersonal skill building, negotiation skills, anger management, how to resolve conflict, time management, self-care. Okay, that's the last slide. Sadly, I was hoping to be able to report to you about the implementation of this project, but we wrote a grant and we didn't get the funding. The funder recommended we break it into two separate funding prongs and find someone who's interested in the entrepreneurial. They would fund our psychosocial. So that's what we're going to do. So maybe next year I can talk to you about the implementation and perhaps successes of this intervention. But I think the main issue is that it was very, very clear that if you go into the community, people will tell you what the problems are and how to resolve the problems. And then helping them find funding is the hardest part.
Let's take one question. Anybody have a question for Mary? Yeah.
You know, we're going to, no, I mean, we didn't initially, but I think going back to the table with our partners, we're going to be exploring other options, yeah, yeah.
So. Okay, we'll have more time to talk about it. Thank you so much. It was great.